The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker held a news conference in Chicago August 25th to denounce federal threats and to urge resistance to the Trump regime's attacks on democracy, civil rights, and personal freedoms. We're going to hear portions of that news conference on today's show. First, here's Governor Pritzker.
I want to speak plainly about the moment that we are in and the actual crisis, not the manufactured one, that we are facing in this city and as a state and as a country. If it sounds to you like I am alarmist, that is because I am ringing an alarm, one that I hope every person listening will heed, both here in Illinois and across the country. Over the weekend, we learned from the media that Donald Trump has been planning for quite a while now to deploy armed military personnel to the streets of Chicago. This is exactly the type of overreach that our country's founders warned against. And it's the reason that they established a federal system with a separation of powers built on checks and balances. What President Trump is doing is unprecedented and unwarranted. It is illegal. It is unconstitutional. It is un-American. No one from the White House or the executive branch has reached out to me or to the mayor. No one has reached out to our staffs. No effort has been made to coordinate or to ask for our assistance in identifying any actions that might be helpful to us. Local law enforcement has not been contacted. We have made no requests for federal intervention. None. We found out what Donald Trump was planning the same way that all of you did. We read a story in the Washington Post. If this was really about fighting crime and making the streets safe, what possible justification could the White House have for planning such an exceptional action without any conversations or consultations with the governor, the mayor, or the police? Let me answer that question. This is not about fighting crime. This is about Donald Trump searching for any justification to deploy the military in a blue city, in a blue state, to try and intimidate his political rivals. This is about the President of the United States and his complicit lackey, Stephen Miller, searching for ways to lay the groundwork to circumvent our democracy, militarize our cities, and end elections. There is no emergency in Chicago that calls for armed military intervention. There is no insurrection. There is no insurrection. Like every major American city in both blue and red states, we deal with crime in Chicago. Indeed, the violent crime rate is worse in red states and red cities. Here in Chicago, our civilian police force and elected leaders work every day to combat crime and to improve public safety. And it's working. Not one person here today will claim we have solved all crime in Chicago. Nor can that be said of any major American metro area. But calling the military into a U.S. city to invade our streets and neighborhoods and disrupt the lives of everyday people is an extraordinary action, and it should require extraordinary justification. Look around you right now. Does this look like an emergency? Look at this. Go talk to the people of Chicago who are enjoying a gorgeous afternoon in this city. Ask the families buying ice cream on the Riverwalk. Go see the students who are at the beach after school. Talk to the workers that I just met taking the water taxi to get here. Find a family who's enjoying today sitting on their front porch and ask if they want their neighborhoods turned into a war zone by a wannabe dictator. Ask if they'd like to pass through a checkpoint with unidentified officers in masks while taking their kids to school. Crime is a reality we all face in this country. Public safety has been among our highest priorities since taking office. We have hired more police and given them more funding. We banned assault weapons, ghost guns, bump stocks, and high-capacity magazines. We invested historic amounts into community violence intervention programs. We listened to our local communities, to the people who live and work in the places that are most affected by crime, and asked them what they needed to help make their neighborhoods safer. Those strategies have been working. Crime is dropping in Chicago. Murders are down 32% compared to last year and nearly cut in half since 2021. Shootings are down 37% since last year and 57% from 4 years ago. Robberies are down 34% year over year. Burglaries down 21%. Motor vehicle thefts down 26%. So in case there was any doubt as to the motivation behind Trump's military occupations, take note. 13 of the top 20 cities in homicide rate have Republican governors. None of these cities is Chicago. 8 of the top 10 states with the highest homicide rates are led by Republicans. None of those states is Illinois. Memphis, Tennessee, Hattiesburg, Mississippi have higher crime rates than Chicago. And yet Donald Trump is sending troops here and not there? Ask yourself why. If Donald Trump was actually serious about fighting crime in cities like Chicago, he, along with his congressional Republicans, would not be cutting over $800 million in public safety and crime prevention grants nationally, including cutting $158 million in funding to Illinois for violence prevention programs that deploy trained outreach workers to de-escalate conflict on our streets, cutting $71 million in law enforcement grants to Illinois, direct money for police departments through programs like Project Safe Neighborhoods, the state and local anti-terrorism training program, and the Rural Violent Crime Reduction Initiative. Cutting $137 million in child protection measures in Illinois that protect our kids against abuse and neglect. Trump is defunding the police. To the members of the press who are assembled here today and listening across the country, I am asking for your courage to tell it like it is. This is not a time to pretend here that there are two sides to this story. This is not a time to fall back into the reflexive crouch that I so often see, where the authoritarian creep by this administration is ignored in favor of some horse race piece on who will be helped politically by the president's actions. Donald Trump wants to use the military to occupy a U.S. city, punish his dissidents, and score political points. If this were happening in any other country, we would have no trouble calling it what it is, a dangerous power grab. Look at the people assembled before you today, behind me. This is a full cross-section of Chicago's leaders from the business world, the faith community, law enforcement, education, community organizations, and more. We sometimes disagree on how to effectively solve the many challenges that our state and our city face on a daily basis. But today we are standing here united, in public, in front of the cameras, unafraid to tell the president that his proposed actions will make our jobs harder and the lives of our residents worse. Earlier today in the Oval Office, Donald Trump looked at the assembled cameras and asked for me personally to say, "Mr. President, can you do us the honor of protecting our city?" Instead, I say, "Mr. President, do not come to Chicago." You are neither wanted here nor needed here. Your remarks about this effort over the last several weeks have betrayed a continuing slip in your mental faculties and are not fit for the auspicious office that you occupy. Most alarming You seem to lack any appropriate concern as our commander-in-chief for the members of the military that you would so callously deploy as pawns in your ever more alarming grabs for power. As a governor, I've had to make the decision in the past to call up members of the National Guard into active service. And I think it's worth taking a moment to reflect on how seriously I take that responsibility and on the many things that I consider before asking these brave men and women to leave their homes and their communities to serve in any capacity for us. As I've said many times in the past, members of the National Guard are not trained to serve as law enforcement. They are trained for the battlefield, and they're good at it. They're not trained to arrest people and read them their Miranda rights. They did not sign up for the National Guard to fight crime. And when we call them into service, we are reaching into local communities and taking people who have jobs and families away from their neighborhoods and the people who rely upon them. It is insulting to their integrity and to the extraordinary sacrifices that they make to serve in the Guard, to use them as a political prop, where they could be put in situations where they will be at odds with their local communities, the ones that they seek to serve. I know Donald Trump doesn't care about the well-being of the members of our military, but I do, and so do all the people standing here. So let me speak to all Illinoisans and to all Chicagoans right now. Hopefully the president will reconsider this dangerous and misguided encroachment upon our state and our city's sovereignty. Hopefully rational voices, if there are any left inside the White House or the Pentagon, will prevail in the coming days. If not, we are going to face an unprecedented and difficult time ahead. But I know you, Chicago, and I know you are up to it. When you protest, do it peacefully. Be sure to continue Chicago's long tradition of nonviolent resistance. Remember that the members of the military and the National Guard who will be asked to walk these streets are, for the most part, here unwillingly. And remember that they can be court-martialed and their lives ruined if they resist deployment. Look to the members of the faith community standing behind me today for guidance on how to mobilize. To my fellow governors across the nation who would consider pulling your National Guards from their duties at home to come into my state against the wishes of its elected representatives and its people, you would be failing your constituents and your country. Cooperation and coordination between our states is vital to the fabric of our nation, and it benefits us all. Any action undercutting that and violating the sacred sovereignty of our state to cater to the ego of a dictator will be responded to. The state of Illinois is ready to stand against this military deployment with every peaceful tool we have. We will see the Trump administration in court. We will use every lever at our disposal to protect the people of Illinois and their rights. Finally, to the Trump administration officials who are complicit in this scheme, to the public servants who have forsaken their oath to the Constitution to serve the petty whims of an arrogant little man, to any federal official who would come to Chicago and try to incite my people into violence as a pretext for something darker and more dangerous, we are watching and we are taking names. This country has survived darker periods than the one that we're going through right now, and eventually the pendulum will swing back, maybe even next year. Donald Trump has already shown himself to have little regard for the many acolytes that he has encouraged to commit crimes on his behalf. You can delay justice for a time, but history shows you cannot prevent it from finding you eventually. If you hurt my people, nothing will stop me, not time or political circumstance, from making sure that you face justice under our constitutional rule of law. As Dr. King once said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Humbly, I would add, it doesn't bend on its own. History tells us we often have to apply force needed to make sure that the arc gets where it needs to go. This is one of those times.
That was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at a news conference in Chicago on August 25th. Governor Pritzker was joined by several other officials and a number of civic and religious leaders to denounce federal threats and to urge resistance to the Trump regime's attacks on democracy, civil rights, and personal liberties. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's hear now from another speaker at that news conference, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson.
Thank you to all of the state and local county leaders that are here with us today. So let's just get to the facts. Over the past 2 years, we have seen significant reductions in crime and violence. In the last year alone, we have seen more than a 30% decline in homicides. Let me say that again. We've reduced homicides in 1 year by almost a third. We've launched a robberies task force with the Chicago Police Department, effectively reducing robberies by almost 35%. We've worked closely with CPD to restructure the Detectives Bureau to bring the clearance rate up to 76%. It's the highest we've seen in more than a decade. We've worked with the Chicago Police Department and our Community Violence Intervention, CVI partners, to reduce shootings by almost 40%. Almost 40%. We've done that in 1 year. This is significant progress, and it's historic progress. We've had the safest April in the city of Chicago since 1962, more than six decades. And according to FBI data, Chicago is not in the top 25 of the most dangerous cities in the United States. And these facts are indisputable and widely acknowledged. Yet there are those who want to twist our words to make it seem as though we think that our job is finished. So let me be perfectly clear. Our work to make our city safer still continues. And while we have made progress, that doesn't mean that we will rest. In fact, we know that we have more work to do. And that work is what wakes me up every single day. It's what I think about before I go to bed. That is our focus every single day, and it will continue to be our top priority until Chicagoans feel safe in their neighborhoods, regardless of their zip codes. We cannot call ourselves a safe city until every Chicagoan in our beloved city feels safe, whether you live in Austin or North Lawndale or South Shore. Every single Chicagoan deserves to feel safe. There are those who might ask, if we have seen consistent historic reductions in crime and violence across our city over the past 2 years, and if we are not even in the top 25 most dangerous cities, then why are we now being targeted by the Trump administration for a military occupation? We are being targeted because of what and who we represent. Chicago was known as a working class city. We are the birthplace of the labor movement, and we will always be a union town. But we're also a diverse city, Black and Latine, Asian, Indigenous, and whites. We are a city with vibrant neighborhoods that represent every single nationality and every immigrant community from around the world, with more than 40 different language groups that are spoken in homes across Chicago. And we are a progressive city. We believe in investing in people. We believe in standing up for the most vulnerable among us. We believe that the solution to homelessness is not the National Guard, but it is housing. Building affordable housing across American cities should be our top priority. We believe that the solution to immigration is not to separate families and throw grandmothers into the back of vans with marked vans and masked individuals. The solution is comprehensive immigration reform that allows anyone who wishes to come to our city or our country, if they want to work, they should have a pathway to citizenship. We believe that the solution to poverty is not incarceration, it's investment. Instead of declaring war on the poor, we should remember Lyndon B. Johnson's vision for a greater society that declares war on poverty. And we believe that you don't solve crime by sending in the military. You work every day towards constitutional policing and rebuilding trust between law enforcement and residents. You solve crimes and bring closure to victims when we ensure that our detectives division have all the tools that they need. You solve crimes and you bring closure to victims when we hold people accountable, of course, but we have to do it constitutionally. Due process, after all, is still a right for every single person in this country. That's how we reduce crime. So we are being targeted because of who we are as a city more than anything else. We are a shining example of what happens when working people stand together. The last thing that Chicagoans want is someone from the outside of our city who doesn't know our city tried to dictate and tell us what our city needs. As the mayor of this city, I can tell you that Chicagoans are not calling for a military occupation. They are calling for the same thing that we've been calling for some time, and that's investment. What safe cities across America all have in common, they invest in people. And that's what we're doing in Chicago. We need the federal resources to make sure that we're building more affordable housing, expanding mental and behavioral health care, education, all of these things that could reduce crime and provide real community safety. Instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars for a publicity stunt to invoke chaos and terror, the federal government should spend that money on proven solutions to crime and violence reduction. We cannot incarcerate our way out of violence. We've already tried that, and we've ended up with the largest prison population in the world without solving the problems of crime and violence. The addiction on jails and incarceration in this country, we have moved past that. It is racist, it is immoral, it is unholy, and it is not the way to drive violence down. We cannot return to the same failed strategies that got us here in the first place. Under the previous presidential administration, we requested more federal resources to address gun violence in our city. We continue to make that same call. We have made significant progress on our own, but there is so much more that we can do if we had real support from the federal government. Our communities need more federal resources for public safety. There's no question about that. But unsolicited, unwarranted military takeover is not needed. Our message is simple. Listen to what our people are actually calling for. We're calling for investments, resources. This stunt that this president is attempting to execute is not real. It doesn't help drive us towards a more safe, affordable big city. And so, in closing, we have some very simple demands. We are calling on the Trump administration to release the $800 million for violence prevention funds that he stole back in April. We are calling for more resources to stop the endless flow of guns into our city. And we are calling for transformational investments into affordable housing and community safety. I'm proud to stand with all of the partners that are here today, as well as mayors and governors across this country. We will defend our democracy. We will protect our humanity. We will stand up for the interests of working people. And so that's the state, local government, the federal delegation that are all here committed, standing firm in our values, standing up for the greatest freaking city in the world, the city of Chicago. Thank you very much.
That was Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson speaking at a news conference in Chicago on August 25th. Mayor Johnson was joined by Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, other officials, and a number of civic and religious leaders to denounce federal threats and to urge resistance to the Trump regime's attacks on democracy, civil rights, and personal freedoms. We have time for one more. Here's the Reverend Sierra Bates Chamberlain, Executive Director of Live Free Illinois.
Good afternoon. I am Reverend Sierra Bakes Chamberlain. I'm the executive director of Live Free Illinois, where we organize over 120 congregations across the state, working at the intersection of gun violence and incarceration. What we are witnessing today is devastating. The President of the United States has chosen to target Black and brown communities, communities already traumatized by state-sanctioned violence and white supremacy. This is not just politics. This is state-sanctioned violence. This is an authoritarian stunt. This is a declaration of war on our people. Two things can be true at the same time. Yes, gun violence has disproportionately impacted Black and brown communities. And yet, across the country, we are seeing historically low numbers in homicides and shootings. That progress is not an accident. It's the work of thousands of mothers, of fathers, of pastors, of organizers, street outreach workers, and young people who wake up every day to build public safety from the ground up. But instead of listening to us, this administration listens to a handful of Judas voices willing to sell out their own community. That is white supremacy, propping up a few to betray the many. And let's tell the truth. There are cities in Missouri, Louisiana, Mississippi with higher homicide rates than Chicago, yet they were not targeted. Why? Because this is not about saving lives. It's about punishing Illinois leadership, punishing Black and brown resistance, and punishing Black hope. Chicago and people across Illinois, we don't need soldiers in our streets. We need resources in our schools. We don't need tanks in our neighborhoods. We need jobs, housing, and health care. We don't need an army to occupy us. We need our tax dollars invested in us. If the president truly cared about violence, he would invest in community-based solutions. If he cared about safety, he would hold gun manufacturers accountable. But instead, he has chosen to weaponize the military against Black and brown lives, and that ain't right. Illinois, we will not be fooled. We will not be divided. This is a modern-day attack to roll back our civil and human rights. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. And though the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, the violent will take it by force. So hear me. We will not bow. We will not break. We will not bow down. We will not stand. We will resist. We will stand. And we will fight for our freedom and our communities, our rights, by faith, courage, and collective power. And by the way, release the Epstein files.
That was the Reverend Sierra Bakes Chamberlain, Executive Director of Live Free Illinois, speaking at a news conference in Chicago on August 25th, along with Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, other officials, and a number of civic and religious leaders to denounce federal threats and to urge resistance to the Trump regime's attacks on democracy, civil rights, and personal liberty. For now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Please support public media and local community radio stations. Become members. Become volunteers. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy. Failed war on drugs.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.